Pastor will be preaching from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 this morning. And in context, as he's presented this precious message to us in these past weeks, we're just reminded that we can rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation. And in verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, being able to be in this part of your word. Father, as we reflect back on the amazing and precious work that Christ did to make it possible for us to be reconciled to you, we just have to remember and just be reminded, as this passage does, that we are sinners and we are not paying for Adam's sin when we have to deal with our own, but we are dealing with the sin that we commit. And Father, that you are so gracious to forgive as we come to you, for initially for salvation and then for just daily cleansing. Thank you, Father, for that. And we just commit this time to you, just ask that you bless us through your word as Pastor delivers it, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Tom. Continuing now in chapter 5 of Romans. This morning we come to, a key passage. Really, all of chapter 5 is key to the book of Romans. In fact, chapter 5 of Romans is very much the heart of the entire book. And having already seen the prosperity, the procedure, and the promises that are ours through justification, we now begin to learn why it had to happen the way it happened. Why is Jesus the only solution for our sin problem? Why did God have it that way? Why did God have one man be the substitutionary sacrifice for all of humanity's sin problem? And why do we need to be reconciled to God in the first place? How did mankind get into this sinful, separated from God condition? And the short answer is this: through one man's sin. Through one man's sin. On November 24th of 1971, a man known today as D.B. Cooper hijacked a commercial flight between Portland and Seattle by threatening to blow up the plane unless he received $200,000 in cash. After landing to receive his ransom, he then ordered the plane back into the air, and once into the air, lowered the rear staircase of the plane and parachuted into the night. To this day, he has got away with it. It is still an unsolved case. But as a result of that one instance in 1971, that is what really ushered in the age of airport security. All of a sudden, people had to walk through metal detectors. All of a sudden, people had the wand pass by them. All of a sudden, luggage was inspected in many cases. All of a sudden, what used to be something that was entered in trust and confidence was now under suspicion and fear. What he did affected everyone. And then, of course, that was nothing compared to what 9/11 has changed for any and all who travel by plane. today because of 9/11, we're beyond suspicion, and everybody is seen as guilty. Everybody's seen as guilty. Sin is far-reaching. Regardless of what the sin is, sin affects people. It doesn't just affect us. It affects all of those around us. And in most cases, it reaches far, far, far beyond what we ever thought it might. However, never in all of history has one sin affected so many as the very first one. Verse 11 ended telling us that through Jesus Christ, we have now received reconciliation with God. Well, this morning, we find out why we were in need of that reconciliation in the first place. And it all happened again through one man's sin. And that's our subject this morning. From Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Now, verse 12 begins with the word therefore. And typically, when we read that word in Scripture, what we are about to read is the effect of a previous cause. Well, the word we find here is slightly different this morning in that what we're about to read is actually the cause of the previous effect. We read the effect last week. Now Paul is backtracking and saying, and here's why. This is why things are the way they are. This is why we need to be reconciled to God in the first place. And first of all, it is because death entered. That's the first thing. Death entered. In fact, let's look at the first part of verse 12. Verse 12 of chapter 5. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. Now, since we're going to be using that word death quite a bit this morning, I think it would be a good idea to remind us all of what the biblical definition of that word is. Death doesn't simply mean to cease to exist. Death is separation. Separation from life. When we physically die, our body is separated from, when we physically die, our soul is separated from life in our physical body. When we spiritually die, we are separated from God for eternity. In fact, the Bible actually speaks of two kinds of death, two deaths, okay? The first death is our physical death. The second death is when we are separated from God forever. In Revelation 21, verse 8, it says this. It says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That is eternal separation from God, eternal punishment because of sin. And it happened. It all began through one man's sin. One sin. There are a lot of seemingly small and insignificant things in this world that can be very, very dangerous to us. The first thing that popped in my mind was poison. The poison from a simple little puffer fish. I don't know if you knew this or not, but if you get stung from a puffer fish, you have a 50-50 chance. 50% of the people that get stung by pufferfish die. Oleanders, they're everywhere. One of the most poisonous plants on the earth. Kills thousands every year. Have you heard of the bacteria called, I'll try to pronounce it correctly, Clostridium botulinum? This bacteria produces a protein that is considered the most deadly substance known to man. How much of this substance is needed to kill a person? I don't even know how to tell you. It's microscopic. In fact, as I was reading the article, they said if one teaspoon of this. One teaspoon of this could be introduced into a population. It would be enough to kill a billion people. That's how potent it is. One teaspoon, a billion people. Well, in a like manner, one single sin is the root of every death that has ever taken place or will ever take place. One sin. All people. And I'm not just talking about physical death here. We're talking spiritual death. That's just not mostly dead. That's all the way dead. All right? Through the sin of one, man is separated from God. That is why we need to be reconciled. Death entered, and it happened through one man. Now, I haven't named him yet. Who is that one man? Adam. Absolutely. How do we know? The Bible tells us, right? And we are told expressly in verse 14 that it is Adam. Adam is a real person in history. And just like DNA evidence points back to a common physical parent of all people, historical evidence points back to a single cause for sin, a single cause for death. And of course, those parents are Adam and Eve. Adam is that one man. And here's some information about Adam that will be important as we progress, in particular here in chapter 5. But here are a few things. First of all, God created Adam in his own image. Now, this doesn't mean that Adam looked like God. Okay, it means that God created Adam, with a personality. Like God, Adam had intellect. He could think. He could reason. He could even, to a degree, create. Okay, man can they can build things. No other creature can do that. That's intellect. Like God, Adam had emotion. He could love, he could feel joy, he could be angry, he could feel sorrow. And like God, Adam was given a will. He could choose to think or not to think. He could choose to obey or not to obey. He could choose to love or not to love. And I believe this is why God created mankind to begin with, in his own image. He wanted to be loved in return. He wanted to be able to shower his love upon his creation and be freely loved in return. God created Adam in his own image for loving fellowship, as we talked about through communion today. So God created Adam in his own image. God created Adam perfectly innocent. Not necessarily perfect. Only God is perfect. But I do believe perfectly innocent. When Adam was created, there was no sin. Therefore, Adam could be in the very presence of God. Adam and Eve spoke with God. They enjoyed the company and fellowship of God in a very intimate way, in a way that has not been known since. God created Adam perfectly innocent, and God created Adam to live forever. That is, to forever be in God's presence, to forever live with perfect provision, perfect fellowship in a perfect world. However, death entered. Death entered through one man, and death entered through one sin. By adding one microscopic, contrary element to life, death happened. Separation between man and God happened. Sin, of course, is anything that is contrary to God's perfect character. Sin is anything that violates God's perfect standard. Sin is anything short of perfection. And sin cannot be in the presence of a perfect God. In fact, God gave us his standards, his law, through the law of Moses, to show us what this sin might look like. Okay? In fact, Romans 3:20 told us, the law is the knowledge of sin. But God had only given Adam one law. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat that. That's one law. And in Genesis 2:17, it says, "For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." In other words, I'm giving you, Adam, one command, one of my perfect standards. And if you choose to obey that standard, we can enjoy fellowship forever. But if you disobey my command, you will no longer be perfectly innocent. You will die. You will die physically, and you will die spiritually, and our fellowship will be broken. Well, I'm going to assume that you know the rest of the story, because we do not have perfect fellowship with God today. And if you don't know the story, you can read it in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. But the long story short, Adam sinned. He sinned. He ate of the fruit. And through the sin of one man, death entered the world. That is why we are in need of reconciliation. Death entered. Secondly, this morning, death spread. Death spread. This was not confined to Adam and Eve. In fact, let's read the second half of verse 12 there. It says, "And thus death spread to all men because all sinned." I have a good friend, Breck Bross, who was diagnosed with ALS a little over 20 years ago, Lou Gehrig's disease. And it is a disease that slowly kills one's nervous system. Basically, what it does is it slowly paralyzes a person until he is so choked off that he finally dies. Well, he did go home to the Lord back in January of this year at the age of 52. However, it is believed that ALS is genetic. It is something that can and is passed down through generations, mostly staying dormant, but then when the right circumstances happen within a person's body, it sprouts. And it spreads and it grows and it begins to take over. And once it starts, there is no stopping it. So it is with sin and death. Same, similar type of thing. However, sin and death is never dormant. It's always there in every single generation. And we're told here that it's spread to all men. That means you and I, we have it. We have it. Now all men and women would physically die. Now all men and women were born sinners. And through sin we are separated from God because of Adam. Keep a marker here in Romans for a minute, but I want you to turn with me back to Genesis chapter 1. And I want to show you a contrast. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. This is before sin. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now turn to Genesis chapter 5. This is after sin. Genesis chapter 5. And verse 3. It says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth." While Adam and his descendants, us, still carry the image of God in that man has intellect, emotion, and a will, what we lost was our perfect innocence. Man now carries the fallen nature of Adam and the death that came with it. Death spread to all men. And it spread because Adam sinned. Back in Romans now, let me read to you the second half of verse 12 again. Chapter 5, verse 12, Romans, it says, "And thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Now, there is absolutely no doubt that every single mere human being sins. We are all guilty of our own sin. But that is only part of what Paul is telling us here. Personal sin is not why people die physically. He says that all men carry the sin and penalty of what Adam did. And how do we know? Verse 13. It says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law." People were not dying because of personal sin in disobeying the command of God. In fact, we're expressly told that even though people were breaking laws that God would one day give through the law of Moses, those particular offenses were not being imparted to them. Until the law of Moses, which came thousands of years after Adam, the only law that God had given to humanity was, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, for you shall surely die." Now, did people, other than Adam and Eve, physically die after they were expelled from the garden? Did people die between Adam and Moses? Absolutely they did. Everyone physically died just like they do today. In fact, the theme of Genesis chapter 5 is death. As we read that, it's like walking through a cemetery reading tombstones. That's Genesis chapter 5. Another question. Did everybody who died before the law of Moses eat of that tree? They didn't. Then why are they dying? Death spread because of the sin of Adam. People do not die expressly because of personal sin. They die because they have a sin nature. They die because of the sin of Adam. They die because they are sinners. That is why babies, born and unborn, can physically die in our world. Babies die. Babies die. They don't die because they have personally sinned. They die because they carry the sin of Adam. And since I've brought this topic up, I believe we find a bit of a distinction in our passage. And I don't want to make this more than what's here, but I do believe we find a little bit of a distinction. While infants can and do die physically, I don't believe they die spiritually. Because Paul tells us that death entered the world through the sin of Adam, but he also tells us that death spread because man sinned. And from this passage, I believe we get a hint of a teaching here, and I believe it's supported with other scripture, but I believe man dies physically because he's a sinner by nature. I believe man dies spiritually because he has sinned. Listen again to Revelation 21:8. It says, "The cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, they shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." As I have shared the gospel, I do not believe that it is unbiblical to prove that man is a sinner by proving that he has sinned. I don't think that's unbiblical. However, we need to understand that we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And the wages of sin is death, physically and spiritually. And that is why we are in need of reconciliation to God. Through one man's sin, death entered. Through one man's sin, death spread. And then lastly, this morning, through one man's sin, death reigned. Death reigned. Look at verse 14, the first part of it. It says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam." Here Paul kind of confirms exactly what we just got done talking about. People died from Adam to Moses, even though they had not considered the same kind of offense that Adam did. Many were affected by one, and death was now the rule of life. Did you know that in South Bend, Indiana, it is illegal for monkeys to smoke? It's true. It's true. That's important information for you to have in case you bring your monkey to South Bend, Indiana. In Minnesota, it is illegal to tease skunks. And right here in the state of Nevada, this is really going to disappoint some of you, but it is illegal to ride a camel on the highway. While these, I believe, are hilarious rules that are, in fact, on the books for some reason, and that brings me to my next point, what's even more humorous to me is the fact that they are on the books. What in the world happened that these are actually law? Did somebody really allow, or worse yet, force their monkey to smoke? Was somebody in Minnesota actually teasing skunks? And finally, they had we need to put a law on the books. He needs to quit doing that. Did somebody really ride a camel on the highway? Did somebody really eat the forbidden fruit? Wow. The answer is yes to all of the above. Through one man's sin, now death was now the rule. It reigns. And in verse 14, we are introduced to this word reign. We're going to see it at least four more times before the end of chapter 5. But death reigned, and it reigned from Adam to Moses. Now, this doesn't mean that it stopped with Moses. It means that even though the law of Moses was not yet given, even though God did not impute those particular violations to men before they were given, even though man had not committed the same offense as Adam in eating from the tree, people died. Death reigns in the world. I'm sure you've heard the saying. In fact, Dave Neufeld used it in Sunday school a couple Sundays ago. He says, the two things that are certain in this world, death and taxes, right? Well, even Jesus paid taxes, but he conquered death. He conquered death. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Death reigned from Adam until Christ. The end of verse 14 says this, Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. And of course, that is speaking of Jesus Christ. A type is a picture. It is a pattern or a representation of another thing perhaps yet to come. We might even think about the print on a page, okay? Before that print is on a page, it is set in a typeset, some on a plate. But that type on the plate is a representation of what will be on the page. And in a like manner, really, the type on our page is a representation of the story it is telling. There are many types of Christ in the Old Testament. Again, these are patterns or representations of what Christ would be and what he would do. The Passover lamb pictures the sacrifice of Jesus. Boaz in the book of Ruth pictures the redemption that Jesus would provide. The rock that Moses smite in the wilderness that brought forth life-giving and sustaining water represents Christ himself. In fact, it's even a little more of a type because in 1 Corinthians 10:4, Paul says, all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. It was Christ. According to our passage, that rock in the wilderness was more, really more than a type. But now we must ask the question, back to our passage here, why and how could Paul compare the fall of Adam to the perfection of Christ? Well, as with any type, we cannot nor should we make more of it than what it is, than what is there. Adam is a type of Christ only in their common solidarity. Only in their common, only the only likeness between Adam and Christ is that just like it took one man to plunge all of humanity into sin, it would only take one man to offer redemption, to offer reconciliation. In fact, what follows in the following verses, Lord willing, we'll see that next week, is more of a contrast than it is a comparison. Just look at the very beginning of verse 15. It says, but the free gift is not like the offense. In Adam, we have sin and death. In Christ, we have righteousness and life. The likeness, the type, is only in their solidarity. Death reigned from the one man, Adam, but only until the one man, Christ. Christ offers victory over death. In fact, in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15, verses 55 through 57, it says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One man caused it. One man offers the fix. And Lord willing, we will see that next week. I mentioned Clostridium botulinum. Yeah, I think that's pretty close. That's pretty good right there. The protein... Is that entertaining, Bruce? The protein that this bacteria produces is actually what we know today as botulism. You recognize that word, don't you? What makes it so deadly, though, is the fact that it comes from a reproducing bacteria. It can multiply, it can spread, it can start out teeny tiny, just the seed of it being there, and it can spread to the point to where it destroys an entire immune system and kills a person. And unless an antibody that is stronger than the bacteria is injected, that person will die. Well, such is sin to mankind, and such is Christ to that sin. Through one man's sin, death, separation entered, spread, and now reigns in mankind. And that is why we need reconciliation. That is what Christ is the remedy for. In John 5:24, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Placing our faith in Jesus Christ and what he has did is the remedy for death. And Lord willing, we will see a few more details about that next week. But let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for giving us even the nitty-gritty details about why we are in the condition that we are in today, why we need reconciliation to God, why we need to be redeemed. And Lord God, we do thank you this morning for the remedy. We thank you for Jesus Christ, whom you willingly sent, whom willingly came and willingly died on the cross, taking death and sin upon himself, so that through faith in him, we might have eternal life in your presence once again. that we might have life right now, abundant, and that we might be pleasing in your sight. And for that, we do thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.